This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
We welcome you into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West. As we're officially in the month of December, I don't believe Glenn has put up his Christmas tree yet since the last time we hopped on here, but that's okay. Am I right, Glenn?
We got the tree in New Orleans, not up here in Baton Rouge, though. We got one in New Orleans, though. So
Glenn's home away from home. Glenn, people are trying to find a new home in the transfer portal, which kicked off Monday, which I don't know what I expected. But I'll tell you this, it blows my mind now for the second straight year. You hear the portal's going to be crazy. You talk to folks who say it's going to be absolutely nuts, and then it actually gets here, and it still surprises you. The names, the amount of quality names, and just the overall amount of names that entered the portal. LSU trying to be a player, but wanted to get your thoughts on kind of, we talked, you know, recently about the portal plan. Brian Kelly shed some more light on that, saying it was going to be a very directed attack, a very targeted. He likes that word over the course of the season, targeted and targeting. He likes to talk about stuff like that. It's going to be a targeted attack, though. Your thoughts on what we've seen so far, some of the interest at the wide receiver position, at the safety and the cornerback position. It feels like with what Kelly's being public about is kind of how we've measured up and seen throughout the social media spheres and all the player rumors.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely made a more targeted approach at a couple of different positions, which I think has given us a little bit more intel on kind of their thought process. I think, you know, you look, you start at wide receiver with a guy like Xavion Thomas, who I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more in depth as the week goes on, entered the portal this week. And he's a name that you've definitely got to monitor if you're LSU and if you're following the program. That's definitely one that I think you're going to be very interested in. Guy who has put it together now for a couple straight years at Mississippi State, not only as a receiver, but also as a special teams man, and a guy who I think can really come in and spark you in a number of different ways. You know, for LSU's offense in 2024, I think he is certainly somebody that you want to keep an eye on as LSU tries to find some potential replacements, obviously, for what you're going to be losing with Malik Nabers and in all likelihood Ben Thomas too. So that would be certainly a start. You know, they've certainly targeted receiver, and I would say definitely the secondary is going to be another one to keep a close eye on. You know, with guys like Jarden Gilbert and Jair Brown, we mentioned these names a couple days ago in our last pod, but the heat seems to certainly be turning up a level of notches on Gilbert in particular, the former A&M safety. So, you know, safety is an interesting one because I do think that LSU will probably need to replace a couple of guys in that room just from natural attrition, but also from guys that, like Andre Sam, who are no longer eligible to return to the team and don't really know what's going to go on with Major Burns. It does seem to be some up in the air to whether or not he's going pro. So bringing in a guy like Gilbert, I think, would solve some issues, a guy who has played well in the past and has obviously a really good track record from being from Louisiana and you know, all those ties that kind of come with that. So very, very interesting first couple of days. I mean, you know, we're still kind of in the infancy here of the portal as a whole. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, you know, there's still 4 or 5 weeks now for players to really enter their name into the portal and to really kind of get a more of a clear idea of what LSU will want to do. But certainly when I look at just kind of the start here, receiver, cornerback, defensive line, you know, Walter Nolan obviously being the big name D-line that's entered the portal. LSU is apparently going to be one of the many, many schools that give him a call and see what his interest level is and what it might take to get him to Baton Rouge. But there's certainly a ton of other names out there, which I'm sure we'll dive into here in a little bit. But I think that those are the main three, and those are three that we talked about at length last week before the portal even opened, was receiver, defensive line, and certainly the two positions in the secondary. And I think LSU so far has certainly made that known just through the way that they've been targeting, you know, those players, handing out offers, going on these in-home visits now for recruiting this week. I think all that's becoming a little bit more clear.
You talk about some of the big names, and look, if you're LSU, you have to do your due diligence. Like you have to kick the tires on, you know, really, I guess you could just say A&M's entire roster when they enter, because that's how talented that defensive front is. And LSU fans got to witness that just 2-3 weeks ago when the Aggies came to Tiger Stadium. So you talk about evaluations, Glenn. I think that when you look at some of the names, LT Overton, another guy that entered the portal recently, I think everyone would love to see, you know, Edgerrin Cooper in purple and gold if they could. But all of this saying is the evaluation process, you know, Kelly alluded to having some of those exit meetings. We saw some of the trickle effect of some names enter the portal for LSU, some expected. I would say probably all of those guys. It makes sense why they're entering the portal, kind of ending their opportunity in Baton Rouge. Brian Kelly has talked about this more targeted approach, and I even will relate it to maybe fans watching or, you know, NFL draft fans. You're going for quality over quantity this year. You know, in the past couple of years, you've had to really just overhaul and revamp the defense. Glenn, for lack of better words, you just had to get some warm bodies back there to fill out a roster from where they were. This year, being more pointed with that, being more directed with that, I think it's an example of what they're building. But also something you and I have so much talked about is the roster retention, recruiting your own roster. I truly do believe that Brian Kelly, although fans might disagree with some of the poor play, I think this staff believes in what they have in-house, and they want to supplement the roster instead of building out the roster to the portal.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I thought that, you know, we talked a little bit about this before we got on to record today, but I thought that Kelly gave one of his more poignant press conferences of the season yesterday. For those who haven't seen it, you can go back and watch it. We've got a bunch of stories out right now on some of the big topics and that were covered. And certainly one of the big ones was transfer portal. And I think that I can't remember who asked the question. It might've actually been me, but they talked about, he talked about the fact that the defense was not a close group last year. Like this mm-hmm. last season was tough in terms of the turnover that they had to have, all the new starters that they had to implement into the roster, and just how it took them way too long to kind of figure out what they had in some of these guys. And so I do think that there is going to be a more conscious approach to getting some of these guys back. You know, he mentioned yesterday in the press conference that they're expecting 10 of the 11 guys with the highest snap count that are eligible to return. I think that's what he meant, that the guys that are eligible to return, 10 of the 11 top guys to be back in the fold on defense. And when you just kind of scroll through the names there, there's a lot of interesting ones. I mean, you got Mason Smith, Makai Wingo, Greg Penn, Harold Perkins, Sage Ryan, Savion Jones, Zy Alexander.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
In there as well, that I think that LSU would welcome back with open arms just to get another offseason of development with them. So I do think that they are going to try. Yeah, the goal all along has been to get a lot of those pieces back, and I think certainly you can throw in some of the younger guys in there as well, like in the secondary with Toviano and Ryan Yates and some of these guys. I mean, Whit Weeks at linebacker, Paris Shand is a transfer you just got in this year as well. So like there's a ton of names here that I think LSU expects to have back in the fold for 2024, which, you know, then you can really kind of, like you said, target your approach here of who you actually want to go after and get. And then, you know, Sonny had a great Nuggets piece on Tuesday that I think, you know, everybody should go check out. And just kind of below it, I've kind of put down my wish list of what, you know, I think LSU would ideally like to have. I put down two cornerbacks or two defensive backs, starting safety. You know, I think certainly two receivers seems to be where this thing's going. I think you'd love to get somebody to fill the special teams role with a guy like Thomas, but certainly two receivers. I think you'd like to get an offensive lineman in here, potentially a quarterback. We talked at length about that last week and just kind of the positives and, you know, just kind of the risks that you run, I guess, with going after a specific kind of quarterback. So I do think it's going to be more in the 7 to 8 range, which is something we've heard a lot here over the last couple of weeks as LSU season is wound down, that they don't want to have to go in and get 13, 14, 15 guys again out of the portal. They want to definitely make this more of a 6, 7, 8 man class. And I think you're seeing from at least the early offer, early sign, the early buzz that we're hearing of some of these names, they're swinging for the fences with a couple of them. I think that there's certainly some very interesting guys that have been tied to LSU so far. And just it'll be about just as LSU is able to close on them and kind of make that right pitch and see if they can't get this thing back on the right track.
Yeah, I caution fans, this isn't a Madden video game where you can have 99s across the whole roster. But I will say, you mentioned swinging big and fishing in the big waters for the big fish. I think when you look at LSU's roster, Glenn, I think Kelly and this staff feel comfortable with rotational pieces. And we can start on the defensive line and obviously the conversation surrounding a guy like Walter Nolan. But every single player that enters from A&M, especially on that defensive front, because they had so much talent there, if a guy like Shamar Stewart decides to go in, LT Overton, I mentioned, went in earlier this week. Yes, you don't want to just fill it out with 3 to 4 rotational guys, because you just mentioned some of the guys that come back play nice roles within, you know, LSU's defense. I think that they're looking for that high impact, that disruptor that maybe, Glenn, they think they have on the roster, especially if Mekhi Wingo comes back, you know, but in Mason Smith. But if not, you got to find a high impact guy, I think, that can be consistently disruptive to really help a defense that we saw in the bigger games without a Mekhi Wingo there, especially in that Alabama game, struggled to really control the line of scrimmage. I think that's why they're swinging for the big fish. Now, look, you're not going to find it across the entire roster. They're not, I mean, I don't expect them to have the number one portal class with the best player at each available position. But what I think they are doing, I think it's the correct method, because I truly do think, and want to get your thoughts on this, they believe in what they had, like I said earlier, but they understand if we're going to make a difference in a new competitive SEC, we have to have that difference maker up front.
I completely agree. And look, if you get Wingo and Smith back, I think a lot of this on the interior line specifically hinges on what happens with those two guys. If you get one back, okay, you're swinging for the fences at somebody else to help fill that position that one of those guys left behind. But if you get both of those guys back, I do think it gives you a little bit more leniency on what you want to have as your kind of next defensive lineman next to those guys. Because look, believe it, I mean, you can say, you know, obviously Mason Smith did not have a great year coming back from that injury. They still believe in the talent. They still believe in what he can do. And I don't see his role diminishing at all next year. I think that they're going to be really excited to get him back for another offseason if that's what he decides to do, to really kind of lean into his game and work on his technique, work on getting himself back into, you know, more consistent game leg situation. And if you get Mekhi Wingo back, that's just adding another All-American into the mix as well. So I don't think that you'd be swinging for the fences on the interior if you get those guys back. Where I do think maybe you would pivot and maybe target is somebody at more of a defensive line, edge role kind of guy. Somebody that can rush the passer on a consistent basis. I mean, we saw it last year. Part of the problem was they weren't getting much push on the outside to kind of get, you know, these quarterbacks rattled, especially these more mobile quarterbacks that were able to escape the pocket and kind of take off from there. You're hoping that Savion Jones can come back and take that next step. I would be very surprised if you brought in, like, for example, another Jack linebacker. I think they're pretty set there with Swinson and certainly what you hope to get from Deshaun Womack and Jackson Howard next year. But kind of another big defensive end, somebody that you can kind of plug in and is athletic and give you something there on the outside. And it's kind of transitions us probably into one of the guys that we're going to talk about. But I have to imagine that they're going full force right now with Gabriel Relaford to try to get that locked up. And he commits here in a couple days. I think LSU's made a lot of great strides there. And he to me is more of a typical defensive end. I don't know that he's going to be a guy that you can ask to put on 30 pounds and try to be a D tackle. I would love to see him as an edge rusher, as a defensive end, somebody that can kind of use his athleticism to his advantage. I think he's the prototype kind of guy that I think LSU needs to kind of go in there and add some more beef into that and some more juice and athleticism into that rotation. But the problem is that he's a freshman and he's a true freshman. And we do know that LSU has been not hesitant to play true freshmen, but in specific situations, you know, you don't have to look much further than Whit Weeks or even a guy like Deshaun Womack, who was a five-star talent this last year, to know that they don't, you know, they don't always play those guys, and which is perfectly fine. They know those players better than any of us do. But I do think that there's going to be a lot more competition on the defensive line and that you're going to have to target a specific kind of player in the portal if that's what you ultimately decide. But I do think the fact that they brought in Shone Washington in recent weeks, you're in a good spot with Relaford, they don't have to swing for the fences in the portal with a defensive lineman. I think if you can get somebody in here that you know will impact your rotation and be a positive force for you, whether it's on the interior or on the outside, somebody like Braden Swinson had in terms of impact, you know, a guy who maybe wasn't on the field every single snap, but when he was out there, he contributed and he helped I think he was probably your most consistent pass rusher last year. So if you can find somebody like that, it can certainly be a part of a rotation, but doesn't necessarily have to be a superstar kind of talent out of the portal. I think that's definitely what LSU would look at on the defensive line.
You mentioned Gabriel Relaford going to be making that decision up in Shreveport next week. Decommitted from Texas A&M, from what we've heard, was a really, really good official visit that he was able to take, this past weekend. We're going to talk with Sonny later in the week about this, really kind of previewing that commitment. Glenn, you mentioned it. I mean, Relaford is a guy that LSU has stayed on. When A&M loses their defensive line coach, who's going to go to Syracuse, it kind of opened up the door to LSU, maybe even, you know, it was cracked and now it's kind of wide open. LSU feels like they're firmly in the race here. I know that a lot of experts have predicted, you know, on various sites for Relaford to be an option to be in Baton Rouge. When you look at his potential impact in this 2024 class, One thing I've picked up on, and you know, maybe I'm newer to the LSU beat and coverage. LSU's really never out of a race. I know that there's been frustration from fans on certain guys and certain names, but the way they continue to recruit, maybe Glenn, even despite not really having a true defensive line coach, with you know just things they couldn't control this year, I think it is a testament to the staff to be in the race, and for a lot of people, feel like the favorite heading into that commitment.
Yeah, look, he'll commit here on December 8th, which is just a couple days from when we're recruiting, recording this current pod. So, like, he'll by the time somebody maybe watches this, he'll probably already be committed to LSU. So, or committed somewhere, wherever he decides. It sounds like it's going to be LSU or Texas. You know, and so we'll see here what happens in a couple days. But I do think that, you know, they're in as good a position as possible with him following that official visit. And it was something that for a while we had been saying, look, they've got a lot of work to do. They've got a lot of work on this one. This was going to be a very, very tough pull. And I think, you know, a big part of why I think LSU has kind of made the move that they have the last several days is, you know, Elijah Robinson, the A&M D-line coach, going up to Syracuse and taking that defensive coordinator job. That, I think, really kind of makes Relaford made Relaford kind of rethink his possibilities. We'll see here if it does anything to affect Dominic McKinley, who's another five-star Louisiana defensive lineman. LSU still has an official visit that they could use with him. And he's been a little bit quiet as you know, they've kind of gone through their playoff run at Acadiana. But you know, look, LSU would love all the talent in the world right now on that defensive line. I think, you know, there's going to be some attrition there. But certainly starting with a guy like Relaford, I think, would certainly, you know, put a burst of energy into this class, and give you somebody here that could be a really good, you know, product and a guy that you could bring in and really help kind of rebuild the defensive line to an extent and help, you know, just kind of get that group back on track to where they were, you know, several years ago.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, building the depth. Look, you want to space it out between classes. You don't want to be senior heavy and not really know what you're going to go into next year. It feels like if you can add Relaford to the mix, you're really starting to create balance in that defensive line room where, hey, we've got sophomores we like. We have freshmen we like. But we also have some really high-impact juniors and seniors. That's where LSU wants to get. The last topic before we get out of here has been one that was posed to Brian Kelly yesterday in the press conference, and I think it's huge when you talk about coaching, but also just the roster in general, and it kind of goes back into that roster retention. It's the continuity of this team, and you mentioned not being so close. Glenn, now that we're out of it, is it, you know, when Kelly said that, and it kind of, you know, it's easy to say things after the season in hindsight. I think when I kind of look back, and I was even watching some of the games late last night, just going back and watching some of the recaps, it makes sense. Like when Kelly said that they were really not close, look, you have to be close over the course of a 12-game season to perform at an elite level. It does make sense with some of the communication issues. I know you and I both remember several player interviews that sat in and said, hey, our communication has to be better. And whether it's a player coach or player-player relationship, it makes sense. How do you think you fix that? Does continuity help with staff, which is obviously a big topic, and players? Or what's your take on that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it there. I mean, when we were talking to players, even at the end of the season, they were mentioning some of these communication deficiencies within the group. And that is very alarming to me. I mean, you know, it's one thing to just kind of be out-schemed or out-talented or whatnot. But, you know, for guys not to be in the right position or not to be communicating with one another on a, you know, play-in, play-out basis, that to me was a concern. But, you know, it sounds like they've, from what we've heard and from what Kelly has said in the past, you know, they're really going to approach this thing with a lot of, I'm trying to think of the word that he used yesterday. Transparency was the word that he used yesterday that they wanted to use. And that was something that he talked about mainly with the transfer portal stuff. But I think it also works, you know, hand in hand with the defensive staff and with changes and certainly with the personnel that they're bringing in and the personnel that they're hoping to return. You've got to be open with all these guys in terms of just what you think is the best move for the program going forward. I, you know, look, we'll get into this more probably next week and weeks after, but from what I can understand and from what I just as an educated guess, I don't believe right now. I don't believe right now that they're moving on from Madhouse. I don't think that's going to be what they do. I think you could see certainly some coaching changes on the outside in terms of just bringing in a new D-line coach to help and keeping Lindsay in that administrative role. I think that makes a lot of sense. Position coach wise, I think you could see a couple other, you know, mix-ups there, but I don't get the sense based off of what Kelly said and on the evaluations that they're going to go through that they'll move on from him. Now, look, we could have this conversation in a week and they could be in the mix for a defensive coordinator and looking for that search. But I think that's a decision you have to make sooner than later. If that's what you're going to do, like, I know that there's been some talk about, you know, waiting until January or something to do this until after the bowl game. If you're making that significant a change, I would think you would want to do it now, or at least as soon as possible, so you can start getting some feelers out there for your next defensive coordinator and what that looks like. So if that's the decision that Kelly ultimately makes, I think we hear something relatively soon. If not, then I think that, you know, there's going to be heat and pressure on this no matter what happens. Like, if Kelly retains house, there's going to be a lot of pressure that they have a great plan in place to kind of right the ship and try to get this thing back on track. If he doesn't, then he's got to hit a home run higher with the next coordinator. So there's going to be pressure either way here. Going to be very interesting to follow over the next several days. But I do think that, the continuity piece that you mentioned here, I think it starts with personnel, and what you're seeing here so far is that there haven't been a whole ton of entries in the portal. There's going to be some more. You know, I would imagine LSU gets up to the 10-11 range in terms of departures via the portal, and certainly several more probably for the draft. But I think that LSU feels like they're in a really good position with a lot of these core foundational pieces that they got into the mix last year. And that's where you got to start. You got to start with players. Mm-hmm. You got to start with talent, and you develop it from there and make your decisions based off of what you have, based off of what you know. And I think that, you know, look, Brian Kelly, you mentioned this in your piece today. Like, he's not afraid to make these decisions. He's certainly done it in the past, and you can certainly build off of that a little bit. But, you know, I would imagine that whatever he decides, it's in the best interest of LSU football going forward. And we'll see if those kind of mindsets correlate here with the rest of the fan base.
Yeah, it was Eli Drinkwitz that hopped on the 24/7 Sports show on Monday, the Portal Palooza show. And he said something that resonated with me. And then Kelly kind of, you know, also talked about it. He said, look, you have to make the best decisions when, you know, you're deciding the future of a program. Because honestly, guys, it's the difference between having a job or not. You know, he was just really candid about it. And I think Brian Kelly, while he wasn't as candid with it, it really comes down to that. Like, it really comes down to the difference. And the year three plan, or the 3-year plan that he talked about this upcoming season being that year. Look, I've said it before. I think years 3, 4, and potentially 5 are going to make or break Brian Kelly's tenure at LSU. And it's going to be really interesting to watch. Good reason for you to subscribe to the channel and like this video to maintain your content as we roll out more content. Head over to Go247. No deal right now, but hey, you check out some great VIP content that we've got rocking and rolling. Sonny, as we're talking about this, working on a Nuggets piece that he's going to be posting. We'll have the podcast. We'll have so much more content that we want you to be a part of. And Glenn, man, after Christmas, I guess it's going to be time to ramp up your baseball season once again.
Yeah, February. We're getting close. You know, they're we're getting there. We're having some fun with baseball already. They just came off a really good fall, and some interesting decisions have already been made about what that lineup could look like next year in terms of position and pitching. So, yeah, I'm excited for baseball. I'm always excited for baseball season. That's a good one.
Should be fun. I'm excited to experience my first springtime at Baton Rouge around Alex Box. It's going to be a fun one. My name is Bryce Kuhn. He is Glenn West. We ride over at Go247. We also have Sonny Ship, fantastic crew that we have over there. And you make sure to check us out. VIP content, free content. Come join the message boards and keep us company throughout the holiday season. We'll catch you next time here on the Go247 podcast.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.